Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Yo.
Yo, what's with, fool?
Man, peace to the God, man. You already know, man. Handling another tragedy of our people, being a leader for the day.
That's why I called you, man. I've been hearing about that on the radio a lot. I'm sitting on TV, man. That's crazy.
Yeah, man, you know, it's one of them explosive times where people are ready to do something and they're ready to act. You know, it always gets to certain junctions in time where, you know, it used to be where people would just comment, post, and shit like that. But these people are feeling like they ready to go violent. They ready to get an eye for an eye right now. So America's in trouble right now. And there's a lot of stuff brewing that the world needs to pay attention to.
Man, it's crazy that even like during this whole pandemic, where it's like a whole bunch of chaos going on everywhere, every day, man. It's to the forefront now, though. You know what I'm saying? All at one time.
Well, that's the goal of these devils, man, to keep us distracted so we can never get focused. And so it's like a dream is not encompassed upon, like, nobody's dream is to end the nightmare, per se. That's not what the dream is. The nightmare is what blocks the dream. And so black people in America haven't had opportunities to, like, focus and build. And this has been a very productive time for a lot of people. So it's like we got to find time to be revolutionaries and business at the same time, and or be like myself, a business revolutionary. So it's like solution-based. Everybody wants, what are the steps? What are we going to do? And number one, I always tell people first, before you ask anybody that question, ask yourself, what are you going to do? What are you willing to do? Why do you want to do anything? And how are you willing to do something? Man, and that's why some people are suggesting that, you know, we attack the insurance companies, so therefore it could put pressures on the cop and try to bankrupt either some of these systems, because, you know, the insurance companies are the one who insure the cops. You understand me? And these cops got to pay out these lawsuits when they lose if they do something that's unlawful or uncivil. So, I mean, there's many different ways you attack a system. One thing that I just promoted to the people is that we got to have bail bonds groups, you know what I mean, like bail funds and lawyer funds for, like, people. Let's say if I see you getting attacked on the street by a police officer unlawfully and I step in, then we should have, like, a black fund that assists individuals who stepped in so that you don't just be stuck in jail, or you have proper representation, or you ain't got to cop out on something that, you know, you otherwise may have took the court and beat.
Let me ask you a question right now. What do you think about, you just said that we need to focus more on the dream, you know, we need more time to focus on, you know what I'm saying, the dream or the solution, right? So what do you think about Benjamin Crump Taking on all these high profile cases at one time? Do you think he's since it's all happening at the same time.
No, that's why, you know, coalition of lawyers need to be working on these cases. And Benjamin Crump, I'm not sure about his record. I haven't put much study into him, but from what I've heard about him, from what the people don't like him. The people keep wondering why. And what happens is a lot of these times, man, these families, they hear about these high profile lawyers and not knowing the record of these lawyers, and they just reach out to like, yo, I want this to be a high profile case, so let me go get a high profile lawyer. So yeah, I don't think that, you know, one individual should be representing all people in all these cases, because I know for a fact he ain't going to be able to focus and get these things done. And I'm not sure how big his team is, but if he got a bad record, then don't hire a bad lawyer.
To me, he like a high-profile public defense. He just take on
George Floyd.
Yeah, the guy, yeah. Then now he got the Ahmaud case.
We need a coalition of black lawyers that work around these things, and that's what I just started a group messaging group to where it's a bunch of black lawyers online, because we're trying to get bond for these young men that was not even bond, because they in D.C. and D.C. apparently don't have a bail system. So really trying to get them some representation, because what they did is they seen their homie that was on the block and a cop was harassing them and they trying to arrest him or whatever. So they stepped in and start fighting with the cops on some soldier shit. So the video went viral and everything, and you know, everybody was saying that they willing to put some money up. So we trying to figure out who the young men are, get their names, you know, help get them out of the situation, so that young black men and women feel like, yo, if I put my life on the line, is the people gonna help me as well?
Right. Yeah, that's a good move. I feel what you say, like it's a domino effect. So people that, man, we got your back.
Right.
You know, you standing up for your rights.
Right. Like you stood up. We appreciate that. Now we go stand up for you. You feel me? That's how a family unit moves.
The people who
racism is perpetrated on have to get into a better position of power, right? So when it's not like the cops don't like, if you were racist, you dislike a lot of different races, not just black people. You dislike Mexicans, you dislike Asians, you dislike Jewish people, but they got power though, an organization. And so is black people getting to a point of power, organization economically, to where it makes it harder for them to try to implement their racism. So it's not like, oh, we just expect cops to not be racist. No, we expect us to be in a position of power where they can't institute their racism on us.
So even when we do get like black leaders in power, right? The black people are kind of slow down. They what's the word I'm looking for? The force behind that black person, because they don't want to make that black person look bad while they're in power. So they'll quit, you know what I'm saying? Going there, then if something go bad, then I want all the problems to be on that black person's shoulders, since he's the face of it, you know?
Well, yeah, that's why we need a coalitions of so many black people that it becomes an idea rather than a person. You understand me? And one thing I was thinking about was we just create a standard, right? A black standard. When people ask what should we do, what we gonna do, all of these different things. And number one, in our culture, let's take entertainers. Entertainers right now are getting a super bad rap because you see how unessential that they were during the COVID-19 crisis, the quarantine, you understand me? And now in this police terrorism situation. So it's like, yo, okay, what is the standard for black in our culture? Does a black person mean that if we allow you in the culture and you are somebody that you're celebrated and we spending money with and we validate, that means that you're somebody who stands up on issues. That's somebody that puts money towards these issues. That's somebody who has a particular message or a particular moral or integrity that they stand on. That's a person that's supporting these organizations and are in a coalition of that and utilize their platform and influence in some matter. What's the standard? So when you create a standard for black men, women, and influencers and celebrities, then it's easy to be able to see who fits that standard and who doesn't. So essentially, the standard is for everybody to act according to some participation or leadership. You understand me? And then, of course, you're going to have standout individuals that are more just 100% leaders all of the time. Like a, but
like
yeah.
Like a black template.
Yeah.
Template, right? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Show everyone knows.
Because we call too many people black who ain't. We look at the, they had the situation, right? There was a Rachel DeLoza. She was the head of the NAACP or whatever at the time and found out that she wasn't really black. And then you have somebody like Doja Cat who were found on racist chat lines. She was, and she's half black, but she was celebrated about being one of the four black women to get number ones on the Billboard or in the top 10 on the Billboard. And the culture celebrated that, but her acceptance into culture was the fact that she made a song called Bitch, I'm a Cow. And so it's like, what standard did we have for blackness in the first place when you want to go counsel somebody? Because we allow any and everything in our culture. You can talk about niggas. You can talk about bitches. You can talk about killing niggas. You can talk about lewd sexual acts. You can talk about drugs. It ain't no standard.
How about they even let other races become rappers and accepted? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You got the Eminems, Yeezys and all those, you know what I'm saying? Post Malone, and these people making money, but they ain't doing nothing for the black community.
Right, and see, that's the danger. So the standard becomes, it's like, yo, you know, if we don't have a standard for who we calling black or allowing in black culture, then how can we create accountability when people don't meet a certain expectation? All right? So it's like, my standard for black ain't about your melanin, though. My standard for black is about your mindset and your actions. So if I look at somebody like Sean King, right, a lot of people be on his helmet and saying that he's not really black or he's half black or I don't know what is up with his ethnicity personally. But, you know, I reached out to him a couple of times and I told him that, you know, he the modern day Martin Luther King because of how he utilizes technology, you understand me, to organize people to get shit done efficiently. So for me, it ain't about the question of his ethnicity. It's about the question of his integrity and his ability to be able to help others. When in place of him, who would be bringing, and that's not to say that nobody would be doing it, but you, if you want to replace a person and tear down a person, then what are you going to do in place of the people that they help?
Right.
Like, if you, what's your action plan for that? You saying this person ain't black enough to help black people? That don't make sense to me. But somebody else who does nothing for black people, you can take somebody like, let's say, a Lil Boosie, just as an example, right? Now, Lil Boosie don't promote social justices, you understand me? But he's accepted in black culture, or Gucci Man. So it's like, what is our standard for being black? And you got to make a separation between a person that's black, a person that's a nigga, and a person that's an African American, because these are three different type of frequencies of melanated people on their thinking scale.
Boosie actually do the social justice thing and all his music about that, you know what I'm saying, police brutality and all that, a lot of his music.
Well, I get that, but I'm talking about like particular specific cases to where like you're creating organization or where you're getting people out of jail and you're getting people to call governors. And I'm not talking about like you having an experience with police brutality and you speaking on what happened in the hood. That's a lot of rappers do that, but they don't actually promote and produce change though.
Right, but I see what you're saying. They ain't actually like I'm putting the footwork down.
Right. It's just bringing awareness to something. Like, fuck the police is something that Ice Cube did, you know what I mean, initially a long time ago. But Ice Cube is also somebody who create leagues for black men, you understand me, to and promote ownership, and I'm sure is involved in many different things. Like, that's a different kind of example of fuck the police than you talking about the shit.
It's time for, man, people just step up, take leadership positions, man. But like you said, it's all start with a mind frame. So to black people get their mental health together, bro, it's going to be hard to try to get everybody to recognize and take the veil from over their face and see what's going on. You know what I'm saying? And we gotta have like a spiritual point of view of what we want to do first, because it's not going to work if you just try to fix the physical realm of things, you know?
No, absolutely.
You gotta be right at the core.
You gotta start with you, right?
Yeah.
And the most powerful thing you can ever do is to start with you. And what does you mean? You understand me? And so you is like this all representation of everyone. And like if when you a baby, you understand me, and you get named after you come out your parents or your mother's body, and then they put a name on you. You understand me? And then you start to become that name, you start to become how you're shaped as a child, and then people ask you, who are you? And now you have a name to go along with that existence and shaped experiences to go along with that existence, but the essence of you, you understand me, is your nature. And people have wrapped themselves in trying to become something instead of realizing who they are. And once you get away from the ego of who I am, the I is that shit, the I and all of these other different things, that's the ego. The I is the ego talking to you. But you are the R, that you are what you is the essence of who you are. And so as a people, we have to get away from the egos, the names, the ideas, and really realize what our nature is. And that's what I consider, that was what I consider black.
Change the black standard and start putting up those positive images and making those images cool. And black people, you know what I'm saying? That's the only way that things will start to shift. You know what I'm saying? That'll be the beginning of the shift. So people got to change the information diet to expect in other areas of their life.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you're absolutely right. That's what happened during the 1919, during Marcus Garvey. He started to create a shift in the mindset, and that's what happened to Honorable Elijah Muhammad. When he created a shift in the mindset and gave them something different to digest, and in the forms of not only books, he changed the way that they dress, changed the way that you eat, changed what you wear, changed the places you go to, changed the whole rhythm and pattern of your life. And now you can get back to who you really are. You understand me? Not the nigga that they made us to be. And so, of course, as a people, we got to get to a family unit. And that's like I said, that's going to continue to be my focus, because if we move like a family, that means that we move in participation of loving ourselves and loving each other. And the problem is that we can't love strangers because we don't really know each other. So you walking down the street seeing a black man getting harassed, yes, that's a melanated brother, but he a stranger at the same time. So when you create a certain standard, a certain code, let's say if you dressed a certain way, and I'm walking down the street and I see a black man in a suit and bow tie, I say, oh, that's an FOI. That's my brother. I know I got to go help him. But if I walk down the street and I see a nigga and he got on all his blood colors or his Crip colors, you feel me? Then he be like, oh, that's a nigga getting harassed by the police. See, that different standard of value that we disassociate, because it's like, oh, that's not my family. You understand me? Which means that's not my business, because family is a business at the same time. So it's like, how do you get to know these people? For one, if we had an operational standard to where it'd be like, look, even if it was just a pin that you wore or something that is an identifying factor that say, look, I think like you. So when I see you, I see myself, and I'm ready to help you. So you help me as well. And so, because by helping me is helping you. So it's like, when we can create that standard, now we got a family to be like, all right, I know how you think, I know what you believe in, and we set the same standard for each other, so now we're going to protect each other and whatever efforts that, and support each other in whatever efforts that we can.
Yeah, you're right. And you know what, every day, right, you know, like, it's like, no, like, instead of saying, what's up, somebody will see me, they'll be like, what's the word? So I was kind of worried for the thing.
Right.
Talking to these young kids, bro, they just so lost, bro. It's like they don't want to read or nothing.
Nah, they don't. Nah, because, you know, the mind is what makes the man. So you get to wonder what kind of man you are based on the type of mind that you have. So it's like, I came to a point of understanding about women and the conversation and the context around women, right? And you can tell what kind of man you are based on how you think about women. You understand me? Now, if you only see women as an opportunity to get your pleasure off of, then that's a man that doesn't give to women what they need. And women, in return, give us what we need, which is, number one, life, of course, and family. But she raises the point of civilization. So if a man is just moving by his desire in his sexual organs, then that man is in communication only with his lower nature. He not on his higher self. So that's not a divine man.
You can tell what type of man is. The way the man treats the world is how he treats his woman. You know what I'm saying? So if a man, like you just said, if he out here just doing, just messing with everybody else for his own self, his game, he gonna do his woman like that. The same way, man.
Right, and that starts with every day. I think people think like, oh, I ain't been doing it right, so I ain't got to start. Like, you just start, like, wherever you at. It's not saying you perfect, you striving. Because a lot of time when we had these conversations, you know, a person would be thinking like, all right, well, shit, I ain't perfect. I ain't going to change that part of me. Like, nah, bro, you ain't got to be perfect to start changing that part of you. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the thing. Like, you got to leave it open for people to realize, like, and replace the word with change with growth and evolution. Like, because change is something we fight against. We become defensive when somebody try to change us. Because he's like, yo, you trying to take away from who I am.
People got to start seeking truth. And truth is anything from a divine perspective, you know. So until you figure, but you won't know the divine perspective until you start getting back in tune with your divinity and reading the different scriptures and whatnot. So once you learn the truth and you have a divine perspective, then you can, you know what I'm saying, change your way and evolve and grow into the, you know what I'm saying, to the divine image that you're supposed to become, you know?
Absolutely.
That you're supposed to be and whatnot. But like I said, man, it's what we're reading and learning new information. When you learn new information, you have to be vulnerable and open to it. So it's a mindset thing, you know? You gotta change your, you can't go into nothing new with your old perspective.
You gotta be open-minded. Yeah. You said key, you have to be vulnerable or sensitive and open to be able to receive that which can allow you to grow.
Because I swear to God, man, information is a powerful weapon, man, because you got to think, man, obstacles and hardship is never going to stop. There's going to be things that come up along your path of life in the future that is going to be hard, but once you are loaded with the information, you'll be a little more relaxed and with handling those obstacles that come, because you got the information to how to maneuver through those situations.
Right.
But until you start seeing yourself, like, until you change your information diet, you're going to keep going and looking at it from that one perspective that you have, a negative mindset. So you got to shift it.
Yeah, into a power mindset.
That might be the word for tomorrow, shift.
Yeah. That's why I think of things in terms of power. And I want to eliminate the usage of, you know, the I and me, and only speak from you. You understand me? Because you is that universal all.
When I say the I is masculine and the me is your feminine, the me is anything that can be influenced, but your I is objective. You can stop that. For example, you can say, me, that's my swag, I like those clothes. But I can change that and say, I don't like that no more. So your I is your masculine self.
Yeah, but see,
you know what I'm saying?
It also represents this. You're right when it comes to, because, you know, ego is definitely can be a masculine thing. You understand me? You don't get rid of ego, but don't always speak from or talk to it, right? Because when you're talking through you, and I say, yo, what do you want to do, right? And so a person asks you, how are you, or you know, who are you, then you already addressing that I'm something, right? And the you already is an essence within itself. But then outside of that, like when a person asks you, like, if you got a nickname, Lil Steve or 19 Keys, they ask you, why you come up with that name? How you come up with that? Right? Because they know that that part of me is self-created. That's what I came up with. the I came up with, right? But then nobody asked you, like, how did you get your name, your original name? Because they know that that's what your parents came up with. That's what they named you. And then our parents always told us, we give you names so that you can grow and become attributes of those names. So that's what you start to add on to you. But when you think about how powerful you are, right? Not how powerful your name is, not how powerful, like, oh, I want to become the greatest nigga, I want to become the greatest rapper, I want to create the greatest writer. Those are things that you can become. But you are already more powerful than all of those things that you put on yourself. If anything, we put limitations on ourselves based on what we try to become. So when I'm thinking about who I want to be, that's the ego thinking from the self that I want to filter my experience through. You understand me? So it's like, when I'm thinking about who are you, and if I ask myself that question, like, who are you? Speaking to myself. You understand me? So for me, it's like the proper way to answer that question, somebody asks you, like, who are you? You understand me? And to me, the proper answer is that I am you. You understand me? Because I'm that eternally all. I'm limitless in the things that I can do. And what that does to me is it gives you the ability to recognize the essence of all your power, not limited from the things that you want.
Yeah, but that's what I was just going to take it to. You got to find the perfect balance in between the two, you know, or the three, the you, me, and how. You got to find the balance because, like you said, you just can't put all the power into one of those faculties.
No, right, right.
You got to utilize each one of them.
Right.
You got to know where the time. You know,
and you got to know that you're utilizing it.
Because that's how if you know that, that's how it grows. The feminine must be with the masculine to grow. And that's if you tell, even nature, you got to plant a seed for it to grow in the earth. That's a feminine. When you, a man and a woman get together, that's how you reproduce. So you got to, you know what I'm saying, find a balance between both the plus and the negative in order to grow.
Yeah, because as you said it, that's how you reproduce. You know what I'm talking about? Like,
right.
Like, if you're talking to a man and you ask him, how do you reproduce? You understand me? Now, of course, he don't have a womb. You understand me? But how can he reproduce? It's, well, number one, it's through her, or it's through his ideas. You understand me? Like, life is the process of procreation. So that goes to the point of, like, the reason why we deal with racism in the first place is because what? When you look at an Egyptian as a god, Ming. And he is known as the mother of bulls or something of that nature, I believe it's called. But it said that because he's basically a self-created god. And it said because he has a high rate of fecundity, which is basically the ability of fertility. You understand me? And reproduction, like his sperms and things of that nature. But fecundity also deals with the mind as the ability to constantly produce ideas and multitudes of them. You understand me? And when you look at through our reality, all of the greatest ideas, when especially when black people are given tools and ability, that's where they come from. But white men, their rate of fertility is very low, right? So if you ask a white man, how will you reproduce? Then now he got to go and say, well, I'm going to create AI. Or, well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to stop you from producing. You understand me? I'm going to destroy your mind with crack. I'm going to destroy your mind, your body with fast foods.
Exactly.
I'm going to kill you.
Imagination,
right.
The greatest power that any individual can have, or imagination, because that's where everything starts.
Right.
That's where everything starts, man. So anything to distort it or distract it, that's what the white man gonna try to do.
And then we become like them. And what? So the way I look at this shit is it's an esoteric, like an energetic war, right? It's a thing that's called exocannibalism and endocannibalism. Now, in the Book of God by Dr. Wesley, he broke down how, you know, white warriors used to utilize cannibalism as a way to be able to absorb the energy of their enemies, right? So if then sometimes it was within like a psychosexual nature as well, but, you know, like dominating someone, and the belief was that you can steal the energy from them and then get it for yourself. So it was a ritual form. So endocannibalism is when you are eating people from your own community. So that's what happens when black people kill each other, right? We see the baddest nigga, you want to kill him, take that energy, then be the one. Exocannibalism is when you're killing people outside your community or eating people outside your community. And so those are the two rituals that happened in America, because we've become them. We've become the pigs in some of our neighborhoods. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that a pig is consistent of a cat, rat, and a dog. And there was a time where we wanted to be the coolest cats, then turn into the hood rats, and then we just dogs. You understand me? What's up, my dog? We went from cats to dogs and calling our women hood rats. So in this experiment of the projects, we've become the pigs. And now we're fighting against the pigs. You understand me? So we are all caught up in this lower form of ourselves beyond who we're supposed to be.
Back later on.
Alright.
But I'm from the 7th. Thank you too. I might end up getting
this. Oh yeah, man. You know it ain't nothing, man. I appreciate you, God.
I appreciate you, man. We're gonna continue this conversation. If I don't call you tonight, I'll definitely call you tomorrow.
Alright, bro. I appreciate you, man.
I appreciate you, man. Love, man. All right, love. You still in Atlanta, right?
Yeah, I'm in Atlanta right now. I just got back.
Alright, I'm gonna tap in with you.
Alright, peace, God. Peace, family. That was a conversation with my good brother, Steve Jones. He is currently incarcerated, but he will be free very soon. Thank you for tapping in. It's been a high-level conversation with 19 Keys and Steve Jones, my brother. Peace.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.